Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I am reading Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. This miracle wrought by Peter and John caused the people to be in wonder and amazement. There are things that cause me to stand in amazement. When I look at God's grand creation, I am filled with awe and wonder. I wish to mention three things, three truths from the Bible that continue to fill me with wonder and amazement. The first that fills me with wonder and amazement and causes me to stand in awe of God is God's amazing love for sinners. John 3, verse 16 says, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a verse that is so well known to so many people. God so loved the world. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The purpose for giving his Son was that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because man was astray from God, because humanity had sinned and transgressed the commandment of God and was separated from him, God sent his Son into the world so that anyone and everyone who believes on Jesus would not perish but have everlasting life. Of course, the phrase believeth on him means to accept him as Savior so that we might be redeemed by him. This phrase means that we must respond to the truth of the gospel and we must embrace Jesus as our Savior. We must obey the gospel of Christ, which commands us to believe, repent, confess, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness or the remission of our sins. When we have completed these steps of obedience, we put on Christ. We are added to the Lord's church. We can do this because God has loved us with an amazing love. The human mind cannot comprehend the love that God had for humanity in giving his only begotten Son. Romans 5, verse 8 states, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Does this not fill you with amazement? While we were yet sinners, while we were transgressors, while we walked in iniquity, while we violated the law of God, God commended his love toward us. God did not commend his love for us when we were in a state of righteousness or obedience unto his will, but rather he showed his love unto us while we were yet sinners, and Christ died for us. Ephesians 2, 4, But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Notice the boundary of this great phrase. God, rich in mercy. Great love wherewith he loved us. While we were sinners, Christ loved us. God loved us. and sent Christ so that he might die for us. Titus 3 and verse 4, but after that, Paul has described the iniquity of the human family. He has described the transgressions that so many, many people have committed. In fact, all of us have transgressed the law of God. And after that, after our iniquity, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. God has been kind and loving to man. I am amazed of God's amazing love for sinners. I am amazed of God's desire to save us. We were sinners. We had transgressed His law. We had violated His will. We did not know Him. We did not honor Him as God and Lord. Why would God choose to save us? Why would He have any desire to save us, since we walked in such a rebellious state? But God desired to save. God simply did not save, but God longed to save. God saved because He was willing to save. He yearned to save. John 3, verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The world was in condemnation, and Jesus came. Because God sent His Son, rather than condemning the world, to save the world, we might be saved through Him. This does not mean that we are saved through Him, but rather we might be saved through Him. We must receive Him. We must obey Him. We must hear His truth and walk in that truth and live obediently unto His will. But God desired to save humanity. Oh, the wonder of that divine truth. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Apostle Peter is speaking of the end of time. He's speaking of the destruction of the world and the end of the world. And the Scripture says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. There was the ridicule placed upon God of why Jesus had not come, why the world had not ended. Since God had made this promise of ending the age, why had He not fulfilled that promise? But Peter answers by saying, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. O God is faithful to every promise. God fulfills His word and does what He says He will do. But this is the reason the world has not ended. This is the reason that Christ has not come. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has not fulfilled this grand promise because of His desire that we might come to repentance, so that we might not perish. The choice that you and I face this day is either perishing or repentance. We must repent. We must turn from the life that we are now living. We must turn unto God in faith and obedience. We must receive Jesus as Savior. We must put Him on in baptism. This is repentance toward God. And unless we repent, we shall perish. But it is not God's desire that we perish. It is God's desire, God's will, God's plea through the gospel that we repent and turn unto Him. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 says, concerning God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. How are we saved? We must come unto the knowledge of the truth. The truth is proclaimed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faithful men of God proclaim the truth of God so that humanity might hear, might obey, and might be saved. The character of God is that He would have all men to be saved. That fills me with wonder and awe. That causes me to stand in amazement. When I look at the world and the walk of the world and the way of the world and the indulgence of the world and the sinfulness and ungodliness and inhumanity of the world, I am amazed that God has a desire that all be saved. From the most vile sinner, God wants us to turn in repentance and be saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third truth that fills me with wonder and amazement is God's offer of pardon. God has offered man to be pardoned from his sin. Acts 3, verse 26 says, "Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, where he shed his blood. This is the blood of redemption. This is the blood of forgiveness. This is the blood whereby our sins are washed away and we are purified before God. God raised up his Son Jesus so that he might turn away everyone from their iniquities. God has offered us a way out of our iniquity. God has offered us pardon. Rather than being destroyed by God because of sin, we can be delivered from that wrath to come because Jesus has died so that we might be turned away from our iniquities. This is God's offer of pardon. John 1, verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb that has been offered upon the sacrifice of Calvary so that we might have our sin taken away. We can be redeemed by Jesus Christ. We can be pardoned from our iniquity. Think of what it means to be pardoned. We are free from sin. We have been reconciled unto God. We can know Him as Father and Jesus as Savior. We can walk in hope and expectation of that grand future that God has promised unto the saved through Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verses 9 and 10, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Justified by His blood. The blood of Christ makes us just before God. We stand in His court, not as condemned humanity, but as uncondemned, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we are justified, we have been saved from wrath through Him. The wrath of God will be rained upon sin. The wrath of God will be poured out upon the workers of iniquity and the doers of transgression. But Jesus Christ has justified us so that we are saved from wrath. Even when we were enemies, because of the death of Christ upon the cross, the offer of pardon made through that death, we can be reconciled unto God. And because we are reconciled, we can be saved, justified, reconciled, saved. Is not that amazing? Does that not cause you to stand in awe when you think of what God has done so that we might be saved from our sin and our transgression? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Salvation has been offered through Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross has been offered. God's demand for justice has been satisfied through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is offered unto the human family. But salvation must be obtained. We must be willing to receive the salvation that God has offered. We must be willing to obey the conditions of pardon that God has placed before us. When Peter and John healed this man, the people stood in wonder and amazement. They were filled with wonder and amazement and awe. And when I think of God and the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross, I stand in awe and amazement. I am amazed at God's amazing love for sinners. I am amazed at God's desire to save us. I am amazed at God's offer of pardon. And I pray this day that you will receive that pardon through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.